Hare Krishna, welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Jnanand Gauranga Prabhu to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam 4th Canto 21st chapter 46 verse onwards. Before handovering the call to Prabhuji, I would like to give a small introduction about Prabhuji. His Grace Jnanand Gauranga Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Jaipada Swami Guru Maharaj. Prabhuji is working as a professor at Texas A&M University. Prabhuji came into Krishna consciousness in his college days. Since then, Prabhuji has been chanting 16 rounds of Japa for the past 22 years. Prabhuji is well versed with the scriptures such as Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. He has read Chaitanya Charitamrita over 50 times. He has been doing edification of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam for the Bhakti Rishas. Hare Krishna Jnanand Gauranga Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji for joining and giving your valuable association and time this morning. We are very, very fortunate to have you on the call. Please take over the call, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjala Shalagayam Chakshurum Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamaiham Tadati Swapadantikam Bande Yaham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Shem Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagan Ragunathan Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagan Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitam Shem He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantha Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhalu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriyem Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaham Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, Verse 46. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Jaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nashtapraye Sabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Kshetri Bhaktivedanta Swamti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhashya Tirthani Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shedvita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gauravattavata Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hari 4.21.46 Putrena Jayate Lokan Iti Satyavati Shrutihi Brahmadhandahata Pabho Yadveno Tyataratamaham Putrena Jayate Lokan Iti Satyavati Shrutihi Brahmadhandahata Pabho Yadveno Tyataratamaham Putrena by the sun Jayate, one becomes victorious. Lokan, all the heavenly planets. Iti, thus. Satyavati, becomes true. Shruti, the Vedas. Brahmadanda, by the curse of the Brahmanas, Hataha, killed, Papaha, the most sinful, Yat, as, Bena, the father of Maharaj Pradhu, Ati, great, Atarat, became delivered, Tamaha, from the darkness of hellish life. Translation, by His Divine Grace, is Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. They all declared that the Vedic conclusion that one can conquer the heavenly planets by the action of a putra or son was fulfilled for the most sinful Vena, who had been killed by the curse of the Brahmanas and was now delivered from the darker region of the hellish life by his son Maharaj Pratu. Purport. According to the Vedic version, there is a hellish planet called Put, and one who delivers a person from there is called Putra. The purpose of marriage, therefore, is to have a Putra, or son, who is able to deliver his father, even if the father falls down to the hellish condition of Put. Maharaja Prithu's father, Vena, was a most sinful person and was therefore cursed to death by the Brahmanas. Now all the great saintly persons, sages, and Brahmanas present in the meeting, after hearing from Maharaj Pradhu about his great mission in life, became convinced that the statement of the Vedas had been fully proved. The purpose of accepting a wife in religious marriage, as sanctioned in the Vedas, is to have a putra, a son qualified to deliver his father from the darkest region of hellish life. Marriage is not intended for sense gratification, but for getting a son fully qualified to deliver his father. But if the son is raised to become an unqualified demon, how can he deliver his father from hellish life? It is therefore the duty of a father to become a Vaishnava and raise his children to become Vaishnavas. Then even if by chance the father falls into hellish life, in his next birth, such a son can deliver him as Maharaj Pratu delivered his father. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, so, Prabhuji, could you please be a little louder, Prabhu? Volume is a little low for
okay.
me.
Okay, is this better? Hare Krishna?
Yes, okay. Prabhuji, yes, yes.
So, in this verse, the word put means hell. So, the word tra means someone who can get us out of, that is to release. So the word putra means someone who is able to get us out of hell. Basically, tra means to liberate oneself. And so putra means someone who can liberate us from hell. And that is basically save us from hell. So the verse here says that the son, a son is able to liberate one's father, and therefore the father has to attain the qualities in such a way as to raise the son in a way that the son can liberate the father. Basically, the son here is putra. That means the person who is liberating the father, liberating the person out of hell. So what is the basic meaning of this is that we can save ourselves only if we become a Vaishnava. So who is a Vaishnava? And even here, the father himself needs to be a Vaishnava in order to raise a kid who will be a Vaishnava, who would be able to save the father from hell in the next life. So there are as we are aware, there are four Vaishnava Sampradayas, and one of them is called as the Brahma Sampradaya, where Krishna instructs Brahma, and then the lineage flows from Brahma. The second Vaishnava Sampradaya is called as Kumara Sampradaya, where through the four Kumaras, the instructions flow down the lineage. Then we have the Sri Sampradaya, where the instructions come through Mahalakshmi, and then it goes down the lineage. The fourth of the lineages is the Rudra Sampradaya, and in the Rudra Sampradaya, the instructions flow through Lord Shiva. So in this way, we, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we belong to the Brahma Sampradaya, which is technically for us, it's called the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So from Krishna instructs Brahma, and from Brahma, the instructions go to Madhva Muni. So Madhvacharya, he directly, if we see the lineage chart in the Bhagavad Gita, it tells us that he directly obtained the instructions from Vyasadev in Badrikashrama. So from Madhva Muni, the instruction flows, and then there is again a branch, and then the Lord himself appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then we have a very glorious lineage. So what a Vaishnava here means, that the worship of Krishna is, if you see all these four lineages, what is common is that the worship of Krishna is recommended in all these sampradayas. So it means that the guru needs to be from one of these four sampradayas. So if the guru does not come from the bona fide sampradaya, where the instruction is flowing directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the result of that is called as nishphal. That means that it does not give fruit. But like, for instance, all these lineages, they have a very special, there are so many Vaishnavas who have appeared in these lineages who are renowned. The Sri Sampradaya have many, many saints, the Arvars, Ramanujacharya, who all have contributed immensely for the benefit of this world and the service of Krishna. But there is still something very special about our sampradaya. And the reason why it is so special is because the Lord himself appears in this sampradaya as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All other sampradayas, the acharyas who have written the commentary for the Vedanta Sutra, they're all exalted personalities. For instance, Ramanujacharya is Ananta, who is Lakshmana in Treta Yuga. And in this way, he appears here as Ramanujacharya. Madhva Muni is Vayudev, and he also appears as Hanuman in Treta Yuga, as Bhima in Dwapar Yuga, and Madhva Muni in the Kali Yuga. But the Lord himself here appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so that means the Lord has specifically chosen this sampradaya. So this age of Kali, as we realize, this age of Kali is for everyone here has fallen. So that means that we should become very, very serious devotees. So Prabhupada once said that our mission is to save the soul. And Prabhupada has given his mercy. And we should take that mercy. So this has been coming down the lineage. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the ocean of mercy. So Rupa Goswami himself says, Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pravayathe Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gauratushe Namaha. Namo Maha Vadanyaya. Vadanyaya means munificent. Someone who is most munificent. Who do we call as munificent? munificent is someone who is very, very merciful. So let's say that we make a kind of a donation to some kind of a charity. We call them as munificent. Somebody builds a hospital. Somebody is doing many charitable things. They're all considered munificent. But here Rupa Goswami says, but all that is okay, all that is munificent. But here is someone who is most munificent, Maha Vadanyaya. And why is he considered Maha Vadanyaya? Is because Krishna Prema Pradayate, because he is freely distributing the mercy, the love of Krishna. So Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne. So Krishna is even more merciful than Krishna himself. And to him, the Vaishnavas, we are very blessed that we are actually part of this lineage, and we offer our obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya. So there is even more reason why we need to be compelled to taking this mercy that is given to us, is because otherwise big trouble is waiting. As this verse is saying, to save oneself from hell. That means big trouble is waiting. There is, we can see that in this world, there is trouble everywhere. Every step there are problems. And so that means that we should see that trouble is waiting. So people in about in the about 5,000 years ago, at least in the Dwapara Yuga, they used to have a putra to liberate themselves, to raise them so that they don't get the kids don't become unwanted children called Varnashankara, and to raise them to a level that they are able to purify the household, even if the father falls down, there is a chance that the son, the putra, the one who is able to deliver the father. So, but these days it's a lot of people, they want a son, but they don't want a putra. A son is there. But the son is just any, everybody have, you know, they have sons. Okay, that's a different thing. But one needs to want a putra, not just a son. Because a putra is someone who is able to deliver the parent from hell. A putra will deliver. Put is hell, tra is to deliver. So putra means to deliver. So someone who is able to deliver, that means that the person has to be raised in Krishna consciousness from the beginning of life. And in that way, or the sooner the better, the more, the sooner somebody is able to get into Krishna consciousness, the better. And it will help him, it will help the lineage, it will help their children, it will help the people in the household, it will help everybody. Otherwise, they're going to be a disturbance to the society as another unwanted person, and that is what we call here as a son. So people just want a son, but what they do need to want is a putra. So here Maharaj Prithu is his father. So there was this Bena. He was cursed by the Brahmanas, and that is a big story. I'm not going to go into the details of that. But then what basically here is that King Bena, he was he behaved whimsically, you know. So basically Prabhupada says that he's you know, he was very atheistic. But the citizens who were under Maharaj, under the king, Venu, so he pretty much controlled the earth, so King Bena, so they suffered quite a bit. Because in one side, it's like it's compared in the Bhagavatam, like if you have like living beings caught from all sides by fire, engulfed by fire. So you have like ants, they are moving on the floor, moving in the forest. And then you have the forest fire coming from all the sides. So in from one side there is a forest fire, and from the other side there is a forest fire. Those ants are in trouble, because if the forest fire is coming from both the sides, the ant is in trouble. In the same way, the Bhagavatam compares those ants to be like the citizens of a nation. And in one side you have the ruler, who is the king, and in this case it is the king Vena, who is behaving in a whimsical pattern, and who is not concerned about the citizens, and who has stopped all the Vedic sacrifices, and the citizens are suffering, and they do not have a king who is able to protect them and show them the path towards liberation, or help them get liberated out of material existence. On the other side of the forest fire is the thieves and the rogues who are plundering and who are also troubling the citizens. So they are getting trouble from the thieves and the rogues, and they are getting trouble from the king Vena, and therefore the citizens have nowhere to go. At that time, the sages and the brahmanas, they all took the situation to task, because things were not going per the plan, and so they decided they will go and advise this king Vena. So they came and they told him that they gave him a lot of instructions of how to be, how not to be, and how to rectify the situation. And but then the king was not bothered. The king basically said that this is not how he does not subscribe to all those instructions, and it's not going to work that way. And at that time, they all came to a conclusion that this is not going to work. And then they just cursed him. They cursed him to death, because they thought that by death, this is not going to help anyone. And because so the brahmanas in those, the sages, they were powerful in those ages, that they could bring a dynasty to, and they could bring the kings to task and things to end if there is misrule. And if the citizens are not benefiting from it, and in fact they are moving towards hellish existence. So this is also seen in many, many times. We have also seen with even the Lord himself appearing sometimes in uncontrollable situation as Lord Parashuram, and then taking the situation to task. So this has frequently happened, that the brahmanas, they are, and the sages, they are so powerful. They are powerful to put the kings to task. And in this case, they decided that the ultimate, the king needs to be put to death. But this king, he had a mother, and her name was Sunita. And the mother, she grieved so much for the end of for the death of her son. And so she, because of this grieving, and she decided that she's going to preserve the body of the son. So then she conducted some elaborate rituals, and then she used many chemicals, many kind of ingredients, and then there was a way by which, and she infused those chemicals into the body, and then she preserved the body of this of her son. And then at that time, the sages, they also decided, okay, so now do we need... just because there is one king who, you know, this particular king who did not take care of the citizens, so, but a ruler is always needed. You can't just have a country where there is no ruler. So the people should not suffer because of this. After all, this was from a glorious lineage, there is from the Lord of Death. Everybody were there in this lineage. They were glorious kings, and so we need to do something about it. So they all came with a recipe. And so what they did here is they then, using all their prowess, they decided that they will churn the body of this king, the one which his mother Sunita preserved. They decided they will churn the body. And when they churned the body, then they got the first son who seemed to get all the qualities of his father, and he also became acquired all those negative qualities, and he became the head of what is called as the Nishada race. And so this son acquired all those qualities. So what was left was the good qualities from the lineage. And then we had the next son who was born, and Maharaj Prithu. And so that's where this is coming, and how when Maharaj Prithu, when he was giving his speech, and then at that time all the brahmanas, the sages, the devas, all of them were so impressed by it that they said that this is how a son needs to be, that the son can deliver his father, even though the father was pretty much useless, but still this son is able to deliver the father. So this is the way to so here, you know, it's not like the father raised the son in a Krishna conscious way, because, you know, the father even died before the son was even born. So the body was preserved by the mother Sunita, and then it was churned, and then with the help of great mantras, this is the situation occurred this way. So that means that in Krishna consciousness, rituals need to be performed, and the ritual here is called as the Garbhodhan Samskar. So it's an essential ritual. So where the husband and wife, they meet for procreation. So, but even better than all these situations is by the mercy of Prabhupada and Mahaprabhu, that we become better than the brahmanas, that is to be Vaishnavas. So this is not something which is determined by birth, even though it says that a father, if the parents become Vaishnavas, they're able to raise their kids in such a way that the kids are able to release or liberate the parents from hell, but that doesn't mean that one needs to be born in such a situation. But it is, even though it may be a favorable environment, if the parents are practicing Krishna consciousness, like we can see this in the case of Haridas Thakur. So he was not born in these kind of circumstances, but he changed. But he chanted 22 hours a day, and despite chanting 22 hours a day, so he was so humble. Trinadapi sunichena tharorapi sahishna. He was so humble that he will not go into the Jagannath temple, considering his circumstances. So that is his nature. He didn't say that he was qualified to go to enter the temple, that even though he was more than fully qualified, more qualified than most of the people who are entering the temple, but he was so humble. But Lord Jagannath himself came to see him. And how is that? It's because there are two Jagannaths there. So one is the deity of Lord Jagannath, who is Jagannath, Balabhadra, Subhadra, who are inside the temple. And the other is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So when Mahaprabhu himself, so taking seeing this, Mahaprabhu himself comes and visits Haridas Thakur. So seeing this, Vasudeva Ghosh, you know, he says that there is no difference between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath himself. So it means that we can be delivered by the mercy of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So, and this is actually seen in many situations. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, he's a Lord himself. So we here have to do so many things to, in order to liberate ourselves, in order from on a minute-to-minute basis, and also have some kind of influence on people who are around us. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not like that. So when he was able, when he looked at people, when he by just his glance, he was able to freely distribute the love of Godhead. There was this someone who saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was in the Srirangam temple in South India. There was this, the head priest there. His name was Venkata Bhatta. So, and then his son, who later comes to our Sampradaya there, who's called as Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So his uncle, his name is Prabhodananda Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhodananda Saraswati Thakur, so what he, when he sees Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance, he recites these verses, and these verses later appear in a scripture that was compiled by him. And that scripture is called as Chaitanya Chandramrita. That was written by him. It's a Sanskrit treatise on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think it's verse like 92 or something there, where he speaks about Mahaprabhu. And this tells us how the people, when they saw Mahaprabhu and when Mahaprabhu danced, what is the kind of feeling that was there at that time. So he says, Ananda Leela Maya Vigrahaya Hemava Divya Chavisundaraya Tasmai Mahaprema Rasapradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Ananda Leela. It was a full of blissful pastimes. Hema Divya. Hema means gold. Divya means transcendental. Chavisundaraya, it's not like some ordinary gold, but it is like transcendental gold. A transcendental gold is so beautiful because Mahaprabhu's body is golden in color. So he says, Hema Vadivya, it's like transcendental gold and is so beautiful. Chavisundaraya, so beautiful. Tasmai Mahaprema Sasapradaya. Mahaprema means so, the great love, Rasapradaya, the prema rasa, the mellow of love, he is freely distributing. Tasmai Mahaprema Sasapradaya, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, unto that moon-like Lord Chaitanya. I offer my humble obeisance. I think later in the same thing, he also says another verse. I think it was like 105 or something. I don't remember right now. Samsara Sindhu Tharane. Samsara is material existence. Samsara Sindhu. Sindhu is like the ocean of material existence. Samsara Sindhu Tharane Hridayam Yadashyatu. If your heart wishes to cross this ocean of material existence, that's the same thing, verse thing that's referred in this verse to liberate oneself from hell in the subsequent life. That's the same thing that said to cross the ocean of material existence. Samsara Sindhu Tharane Hridam Yadashyati. If your heart wishes to cross the ocean of material existence, Sankirta Namrata Rase Ramate Manaschet. If your mind wishes to float in the ocean of the nectarian Krishna Sankirtan, Samsara Sindhu Tarane Hridayam Yadishyat Sankirta Namrata Rase Ramathe Manaschet Premambado Viharane Yadi Chitta Vrithish. So if you want to float, if your consciousness wants to float in the love of Krishna, Chaitanya Chandra Charanam Sharanam Prayatu, please surrender unto the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that means what it essentially says here is that the way to liberate oneself from the material existence is to become a Vaishnava. And the simple way to become a Vaishnava is to surrender unto the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his mercy, and we can see that even now, that even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this planet maybe about 500 odd years ago, but still the name, his pastimes and activities, they are eternal. And we are able to see, and the effect is, and the effect is the same. So that means that we can be delivered by the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So here, King Vena, he was cursed by the Brahmanas, and Maharaj Prithu, he is Lord himself as a Satyavesh Avatar. So he was he is behaving as a devotee, but he's also a Satyavesh Avatar. So all the great sages, after hearing from King Prithu, said that the statement in the Vedas is proven to be true. So because the Vedas say that if one is able to get a putra, that is, pru is hell and thra is to deliver, one is able to beget a putra, one is such an exalted person. Basically, a putra here means a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava who is able to liberate one's parents. So that means that the purpose of the purpose of the Vedas is satisfied. And we can see this in many situations, like even when Hiranyakashipu, when he had his son Prahlad Maharaj, who is, even though Hiranyakashipu, attempted to kill his son in so many circumstances, even personally tried to do that. And but then Prahlad Maharaj, despite all that, he was so tolerant. There is actually a verse in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam which talks about the tolerance of Vaishnava, who is able to tolerate all kinds of situations. Like someone shouts at them, someone is being very mean to them, someone does bad things to them. But the list goes on by saying that even if someone is being killed, that means even in that situation, like Prahlad Maharaj, who is being killed, in that situation, the person does not become vindictive and does not avenge. So it means that one needs to be tolerant. But here, even if one in this age, if you see our tolerance level is so low, that even if somebody says something mean to us, okay, we are done. That's it. The tolerance is so low that we are done. We are screaming. We are shouting. But that is not an attribute of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava, the first attribute, that's why Mahaprabhu, in the 8 verses, he names this as a very essential quality of a Vaishnava, is Trinadapi. The person is so tolerant. Even if the Bhagavatam says that even if somebody attempts to kill the person, even then the person doesn't avenge. So that means that one needs to work very hard to attain these attributes of the Vaishnava. So attaining the attributes of the Vaishnava is a single mission of life. And in that way, one can see all these auspicious qualities. And if we are not able to do that, if people around us, they are not able to be influenced by our activities, it's simply because we have not taken the mission of Krishna consciousness that seriously. So that means that we need to be more serious and attain these qualities. So we don't have to like fight for these qualities, but then following the instructions of Guru and Krishna, and if we sincerely follow them, these qualities by their mercy. So the only way by which we are going to get these qualities is by the causeless mercy. It's not like we are qualified to get these qualities, that we are just going to become tolerant, we are going to have, but these are qualities that we do need to obtain. So it's not like we can just do whatever we want and then we just chant and then we read the scriptures, we go to a class and speak about Bhagavatam. So and then we are fine, but then we do need to get these qualities. And how to get those qualities is by taking this process very seriously, and because there is trouble everywhere, and we will, and hell is waiting for us if we do not take these things seriously and deliver ourselves. And when we deliver ourselves, those symptoms can be actually seen by people around, and people can see how large-hearted one is. We need to be more in the giving mode rather than in the taking mode. The more we are in the giving mode, people will be able to see it. And when people are able to see it, the more we will be able to distribute Krishna consciousness. So the sages here in this purport, what they're saying is the purpose of the Vedas is to have a son to deliver his father. That means sense gratification will actually take us to hellish condition. That means so marriage is not to just for associate with the man or the woman and then for enjoyment, but actually to respect each other. So the in general, women need to be seen as mother. And in this case, in the case of a marital relationship, so the wife needs to be respected. So that means here the marriage is not for sense gratification, but to deliver, to raise a kid so that the kid won't become a demon, but in fact to actually deliver. So there is actually a verse, I'll say one final verse and then I will end there, and then we can, if there are any questions and any points of views or anything which I have missed, it would be, so there is some time to, so that I can hear from any of the great devotees here. And so in the seventh canto also there is, in the Prahlad Maharaj, he also says something actually in this context, which I remember now, so that Grihastha should, that is a householder, should repeatedly associate with saintly people and with great respect hear the nectarian activities of the Supreme Lord. So that means that the householder, the responsibility is high. There are going to be so many problems in family life, but they need to, and how they can solve those issues is to hear, respectfully hear. Hearing is, and listening is one of the most important attributes. The more reading is good, but we still need to listen. We need a reading. Prabhupada's book is good, but we need to listen on a daily basis. And when we listen, the nectarian activity is the Supreme Lord and His incarnation. So where are we going to go? Listen to this nectarian activity of the Supreme Lord and His incarnations. It's the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is full of these nectarian pastimes. It is even very evident, like whenever somebody is in deep trouble and they are so worried about things, and then if one takes the Srimad Bhagavatam and reads a verse and a few purports, and then one can actually see what kind of an effect that would have. And this kind of, so there are two things here. One is associating with saintly people and listening. So it doesn't have to be like physically associating. So we have Vani, we have Bapu. Vani is very important. So listening is very important. And then one should gradually, Prahlad Maharaj says, and one can gradually detach from his wife, child, exactly like a man awakening from a dream. So this is somewhere in the seventh canto in Prahlad Maharaj's instruction. So the goal is to finally detach. And so we give, so in this way, everybody is benefited, the family is benefited, and we are able to detach. The detachment is not going to be possible by artificial means, but by repeatedly associating with saintly people and repeatedly listening. So listening from great personalities. And who are the great personalities? That's what we said. We need to listen from those in the four sampradayas. So the four sampradayas, the Kumara Sampradaya, Brahma Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya. So there are bona fide acharyas, the Vaishnavas, Vancha Kalpataru Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhya Yavacha, Pakitanam, Pavane Bhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. The Vaishnavas have given so much because they there is one Sri Vaishnava saint, I think one of the Arvars, they actually sing that even if they are born again, so they're not asking that they be liberated out of this material existence and go to Vaikuntha, but they said if they're born again, they let them still be born as a fish, but let it be in one of the, like in the Tirumala hills, in one of those lakes, and in this way let them be born in a holy place, in a holy dham. So in the same way, if we need to be liberated, there are two things which are mentioned here. One is by Prahlad Maharaj. One is to be able to interact with saintly people. And how do we interact with saintly people is also by listening to the nectarian pastimes as mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So with that, I will stop. And if there is anything which I've missed, if you could please let me know. And if there are any questions, I'm more than happy to answer. Or if I don't know the answer, I can I will find out what the answer is. So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, I just wanted to thank you, Prabhu. The class was very, very nectarian. Thank you very much. Please give us your association more regularly on the call. Anyone else has any questions or comments or realizations they want to share, please go ahead. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class, Prabhu. A very beautiful pastime and a very nice class. And I have a small question. I would like to tell my understanding, is it right or wrong? You can explain me, Prabhu. So here we were talking about Putra, who can deliver the father. But if we are a Vaishnava, it does not mean that we need to have a Putra who can deliver us. Because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, anybody can deliver in this Kali Yuga. Is that true to understand, Prabhu?
Yes, Mataji. You basically need to have associating with the Vaishnavas. A Vaishnava is able to deliver. So a Putra itself means somebody who is able to deliver. So somebody, and who is the person who is able to deliver? The person who is able to deliver is the Vaishnava. The word Putra does not mean that you just get some son or a daughter and that they're able to deliver. It's not son or daughter. The word pu means hell. Put means hell. And tra means to liberate one. So who is able to deliver? The word putra. So that means that we are, even though we have, like we can see that even in the case of Ajamila, even though the son was, even though Ajamila was like, it's not like he chanted the names of Krishna in purification, purely at the end of his life, but then he still, the fact that he had a son and he actually named the son with the name of the Lord, that delivered him. So in this way, there are increased chances that one may be around their son, their kids at the time of death, and so it further increases the chance of getting liberated if they are a Vaishnava. So there is no point having if there is a son. It is not a question of having a son or a daughter, but it is having people who are able to liberate one at the time of at the time of death. So that's basically what it means. So
thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any questions for Prabhuji? Okay, if there are no more questions, we can end here the call by offering obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Once again, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. We are looking forward for your association in future. Let's offer our obeisances to Prabhuji and all Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpa tarobhyasya kripa sindhubhye evacha patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananda koti Vaishnav vrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. He praise Jayanand Gauranga Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam.